Welcome, everyone, to another edition of Community in Depth, and we are going to go in depth today with Cindy Toppin. She is the chair of the Heritage Preservation Commission in Hastings. That's kind of a mouthful. And we are very excited to learn more about some recent awards that they gave out, but really just to get more of an education from my standpoint and hopefully for our listeners about the Heritage Preservation Commission and some of the good things that are going on behind the scenes. Great to see you.
Well, thanks for having me.
So I actually saw your wonderful presentation at a recent Hastings City Council meeting, and I bet that was fun for you to do because the pandemic kind of slowed down the good progress that the commission was making.
Yes, we've been giving out these preservation awards to homeowners who've really worked on preserving and maintaining their homes since 2001. And then, of course, with the pandemic, we didn't give any awards in 2020 because, you know, that's just wasn't our focus. So we were really happy to be back doing it again. I was a little disappointed that night. Usually the award winners are there receiving their plaques, and I think because of the pandemic, people just didn't come. But we had some wonderful stories this time with some great before and after pictures.
Which really made it extra special. So for people that are listening, might you tell us a little bit about the Heritage Preservation Commission?
Sure. Heritage Preservation Commission, some people may remember it as called the Historic Preservation Commission, has been around for decades. And it actually started a lot of its work when John Grossman was working for the city, and they got funding to do surveys of a lot of the old houses. And so something that people may not know if they weren't around back in those days is you might have a survey of your house in a file in the Pioneer Room, which is in the City Hall, and you can go in there on Wednesday mornings between 9 and 12, and a volunteer will help you find your file. I had lived in my historic home for 30 years before I discovered I had a file, and in that file was a survey that had been done by volunteers in the 70s that talked about, you know, all the historic features of my house, who had built it, who'd owned it. I mean, it was great. And then I had some stuff that they did not have, like the original plans to my house, and so I made a copy of that so that future owners would be able to see that as well in case the original gets lost.
You know, I guess I didn't realize that they had done these surveys. Was it houses of a certain age? Was it houses in a certain area? Or what was the rhyme or reason?
I wasn't on it then, so I believe the reason was there was a push at that time to develop historic districts. And so in order to do that, you had to justify that you actually had historic houses in that area. And so Hastings has a couple of historic districts, and as you aren't going to be surprised, it's basically the old part of town. The downtown is its own historic district.
Okay.
And then residentially, there's a district that's on one side of the Vermilion, so it would be, you know, from about A Street down to 2nd Street. And then on the other side, where we're sitting right now, would be from Vermilion to about Ashland. And so those houses, you know, the survey was helped to determine where that district should start and where it should end. And then when homeowners move into those districts, it's part of their deed, it's part of the real estate transaction, so they know that they are moving into a historic home in a district, because if you're in a district and you want to make exterior changes to your house, you do have to tell us what those changes are going to be, and then one of the main functions of the HPC would be for us to approve it. So let's say that you wanted to tear off half the house, the front porch, and, you know, build a three-story addition on the front with a garage facing front, that wouldn't be allowed. And so there are design standards that are in statute that we simply follow. And so when we get an application, the city staff reviews it according to the design standards. And then sometimes there are gray areas, and so that's why we're there. We discuss it. Is this okay? Is that not okay? Should we ask them to make a little tweak? Things like that.
So is it to keep the integrity of the historic piece of the house? Is that what you're saying?
Right, exactly. So think about when you want to go to an old town like Galena, Illinois, or Charleston. do you want to go and see houses that were built in the 50s interspersed with houses that are from, you know, like 1875? You're going there as a tourist because you want to tour historic homes. And that's the value of doing things like this and having districts that preserve that, because it's a tourism thing. And people, it's a real estate thing as well, because there are people like me who want to live in old homes, and I want it to be preserved.
A lot of us, I think of some of the big grand houses on Second Street or in other parts of the city that have a history and we know about it. They have names, but we sometimes don't think about all of the history in just some of the houses that, you know, can be considered probably ordinary by some of those big grand standards. So that's what's so fascinating to me about this, is that you can go to the Pioneer Room and learn more about your specific house.
Right. So when I actually wrote up the description of each of the houses for that city council meeting, I went to the file and took pictures of what was in it and wrote it up. And I'll just tell one story that I think is fascinating. There's a house near me, 320 West 7th, which is basically on the corner of Ashland and 7th. And it had been foreclosed and had been in pretty bad shape for a number of years. So somebody bought it and wanted to bump up kind of a second story and add a garage in the back. But because it was in the historic district, you know, obviously needed our approval. And the neighbors came to the meeting and said, oh, we love this. Please, please let him do it, because it's been an eyesore. And it fit the guidelines. So of course we did. But when I went to research it, I thought it was really funny. It was built in 1885, and it belonged to a man named Theodore Cook, who, according to the file, was a trained pharmacist. He moved to Hastings in 1906 and became a banker. So he was never a pharmacist here. He was a banker, and in fact was president of the bank from 1938 to 47. So that's the kind of strange stuff you find in the file, and you think, really, isn't that fascinating?
And so does it list how many people have owned the house over the years, or does it just really have a history on the original owner?
It has a history on the original owner, but it depends on the house. So some houses, like this one on West 3rd, 705 West 3rd, that one had a lot more detail, probably because of the people involved in it. And so the house was originally moved from 2nd Street. The land was owned by...
Can you imagine moving a whole house?
Yeah, what was the point back in that day?
Good gravy. I don't know.
But General LeDuc actually sold the land, so he was a famous person in Hastings. Anthony Reed bought it, and then Albert Truex bought it in 1872. And we both know there are a lot of Truexes still left in town, and so it's interesting to know who were the original owners. Do I know from the file every owner since then? No, you could go to property records for that. But if there had been, say, an application to revise it or redo it or knock it down, then we would have things like that within the city and what happened.
So I know people think about, you know, houses that are hundreds of years old getting honors, but you actually, I thought one of the most interesting houses that you recognized was what would be considered today mid-century. And that's has really made a comeback, hasn't it?
Mm-hmm. It really has. So we really have three different categories. We have the category of preservation awards, and that's what you and I have just been talking about. So houses that are older and that have been well preserved or been maintained or improved, actually back to the original standard, taken the old siding off, things like that. We also have a stewardship award, and the stewardship award is for someone who already got one of these preservation awards back maybe 20 years ago, and they've still maintained it. And so it's a recognition that, hey, thanks for still hanging in there. And so this year's house was the Crayons House, and it had gotten an award in 2003. And so this was a stewardship award saying, thanks for still doing this.
And what's the address of that house?
That the house is 307 Sibley, so it's right across from the police station.
Oh, yes. Yeah. And that's the one that you said had a rich history of retail and
right.
You tell us about that.
Beauty shop in it, and piano studio, and insurance office, and it also was originally the Hastings Telephone Company. So a lot of these houses, you know, they housed people, but they also housed businesses. That's just how it worked.
Is that how it was?
Yeah.
So would the people that ran the business, would it be their house then, or was it?
Yeah, generally, that's the way it would work. And then you asked about the mid-century modern. This is a category that we added just a few years ago. And so we recognize one home, mid-century modern, and then this year it happened to be a house built by Ben Sontag, who was also a local kind of celebrity, an important person. He owned the Lumber Mart here for 33 years, and there was a lot in his file, for example. Not so much on that house, but he has a file down there because he was such an important businessman and did a lot of things in town. So there were a lot of articles from the paper, for example, on his history.
Did he also build other houses or just his own?
You know, I'm not sure of that. The file doesn't say that, but I know that because it was ahead of its time, because he could add all the kind of bells and whistles for whatever.
And when you think of mid-century, you do think of wood. And it's a real specific look. Mm-hmm. How did that get on your radar, that house?
Oh, that's a good question. So how do we find the houses for the awards?
Yes.
Thanks for asking that question. So anybody could nominate somebody. You could say, oh, my neighbor's house really should get the award, or my house should really get the award. Well, just contact Justin Fortney at the city, who's the staff to our commission, and we'll put you on the list. But basically, we have one person, Kathy Sovic-Siemens, who's really been the lead on this for our commission since the beginning, 2001. And she looks at what houses have already been recognized, and then she walks the neighborhood a lot and sees, oh, look what's going on 8th
That's
Street.
A way to really see a house
right.
up close, isn't
right.
it?
Right. It's like, oh, they're doing something. Or sometimes we know they've come before the commission, and so you periodically drive by to see how it's coming on that thing they were going to propose, like the house on Ashland and 7th. And, you know, it's pretty amazing sometimes how houses turn out. And so, but anybody could recommend a house. That would be great.
So the house on Ashland that you mentioned wanted to do the extension, or
you wanted to add a garage in the back,
okay.
And wanted to add a full second floor. And you know, it obviously it had to fit with the design of the house. It couldn't just be like slapped on there. And so the design came to us and we approved it, because it's okay to do something like that. And I think sometimes people have an idea, oh, they're not going to let me do anything, or I can't change the inside. And we don't have any control as an HPC about the inside. And so if you saw the city council presentation, people have beautiful new kitchens and wood floors and islands in their kitchens, and that's fine. We're really talking about what the siding is, what the placement of the windows, and not doing anything that ruins the integrity of the house.
And even if a house wasn't perhaps built correctly back in those days, you still want it preserved.
I personally like it or not is like, maybe I don't like that color. We don't control the color
because
of the house.
Because back in the day, weren't some of the colors that were chosen for outside, weren't they quite garish by today's standards?
They could be, and we have nothing to do with color. So that doesn't enter into our regulations. It doesn't enter into our awards. You know, that's a personal choice that people make.
So you're just talking about the building materials themselves?
Right, right.
Okay.
So a lot of houses, you know, back in the 50s or 60s put on things like asbestos siding or whatever. And, you know, the regulations state that wood siding, if it was original to the house, is the way to go. And sometimes that wood siding is still under there. And so if you peel off, like one of the houses, I thought this was a great story, and this was a house on West 3rd, 705 West 3rd. The owners put on hazmat suits and removed the asbestos shingle siding. They exposed and repainted the original wood siding, and then there was all this trim that had disappeared that was just beautiful. And so if you look at the top of the house near the roof line, it has what's called dental trim. And what that is, it's like imagine teeth. It's like
yes.
The teeth, it's like, you know, a little ridge at the top. And you really couldn't see that before when you had the asbestos siding on there. You honestly, if you looked at the pictures, you wouldn't think it was the same house. It's just beautiful.
So these are given out once a year, these awards.
We've been doing it once a year, but we also have another program that we want people to know about. And actually, a number of cities in Minnesota are doing it, and it's called the Century Home Program. And what this is, all the recipients this year of the Preservation Awards got a small plaque recognizing their preservation abilities. And the three preservation awards, because they were all over 100 years old, also got a Century Home plaque, which is much bigger and ornate and is intended to be on the outside of your house. I'm in Lake City a lot, and Lake City has had this program for about 10 years, and they have dozens of these on houses. And you really notice it as you go by because you think, wow, I wouldn't have guessed that that house was 100 years old. Oh, here's another one. And so we're trying to promote that. Obviously, we can only afford to give out, you know, a couple of these a year, but anybody who lives in a house that's over 100 years old can purchase one for $100 if they fill out a form and just, you know, basically prove that their house is 100 years old and that it's, you know, still intact. It isn't crumbling or anything like that. And so we're really hoping more people will take advantage of this because it's a really, really nice plaque.
And that's something also that people can do themselves through the city?
Right, right. So you just apply. It's a simple form. You go to the City of Hastings, you go to the HPC, the Heritage Preservation Commission, and on there, there's a tab that says Century Home, and you just fill out the form and it gets approved, and then you can purchase your plaque if you're interested. It's voluntary. You don't have to do it.
And you have one of those on your house.
I do have one on my house. Anybody who wants to drive by and see it at 409 West 7th can do that.
And Cindy, what are some fun facts that you found out about your own house?
Ah, thanks for asking that. That's a good question. My house was built in 1913, and it was very unusual for the day.
Okay.
Houses of that day typically did not have closets. And
oh.
So we have walk-in closets in every one of our bedrooms with built-in maple dressers. I mean,
what?
Most of the really old houses in Hastings, you know, barely have a space. You know, they had wardrobes, or they had these teeny tiny closets you might have seen that might hold, I don't know, four coats or something like that. And so that's very unusual.
And why do you think that? Was that the start of a new trend, or was that specific to whoever built your house, that was a request from them?
I know it was a request for him because I have the original plans, and in the plans, they wanted to do oak on the first floor, and they wanted to do pine floors on the second floor because it was cheaper, and that's what everybody did. And everywhere that the word pine was, he had crossed that word out and written maple. And so you can actually see his personal changes on there. And I think he was just really ahead of his time. But one of the fun things, a fun story I can share, is this summer, a group of older people were driving really slowly by our house, and my husband and I were outside, and then they came through the alley, and they were clearly, you know, peering through the bushes to see. It turned out that they were the grandchildren of the original owner, and we invited them in, and they were all from out of state. They lived in D.C. and Washington State, and they were so touched. They had not been in the house since the 50s. And then when they got back, the son sent me all these photos that were inside and outside the house back in the day so that I could see what the neighborhood looked like, what the house looked like inside for their Christmases. I mean, it was just wonderful. It was wonderful for us, and I think it was wonderful for them. They wanted a special photo. They had one of the three of them with their mother sitting on our front step, and they asked if we could recreate that photo before they left, and it was just a really fun experience.
Wow, and you never would have known about the history of your house, or if there wasn't this Heritage Preservation Commission really keeping the memory of houses alive.
Right, exactly. And, you know, it really is. Studies have been shown that it's a boost to a town's economy to do this because, again, people want to see old towns. You know, lots of people do this for their vacation. They go see historic towns. I mean, how many times have you heard of people going to Savannah or Charleston? Well, why are they going? Because, you know, it's historic and lots of things happen there. And so we want to promote that as well.
Well, we're just so happy that you gave us all this great information. Cindy Toppin, she is the chair of the Heritage Preservation Commission. Thank you so much. And you are listening to another edition of Community in Depth on AM 1460 and FM 97.7 KDWA in Hastings.